If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. One of the things that I think regular listeners of the show know that I like to do is to try and reach out to the musically diverse a range of artists that I can find. And that has taken me all kinds of different directions. You know, everything from the obvious genres in Manitoba, like country and rock and metal and punk, to, you know, jazz and classical and artists from all over the place. So I think that, like, I always find something new whenever I'm looking up new artists. I find something that's new to me sonically and things like that. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself, and then we can sort of get into what kind of music you play, what your background is, and all of that.
Sure. So my name is Adio. I'm a singer, songwriter, music producer, and dancer. And so the kind of music that I actually make, I coined Afro-orchestral. So what is that? Is that I take Afro melodies and then I apply orchestral instruments to them. So flutes, trumpets, trombone, violins, and all that good stuff.
Well, and I think reading about that genre that you've coined was kind of why I was interested in talking to you, because, I mean, first of all, since you made it up, I haven't heard of it before. But secondly, like, I mean, that's an interesting combination of sounds. How did you come to that sort of style as being what you wanted to do?
So my roots are Congolese. My parents are Congolese. And so I was brought up with a lot of Congolese rumba. That was definitely my upbringing. But as well, a lot of R&B. But my biggest takeaway was also orchestral music. I love Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
That's probably like one of my absolute favorite conductors. And so for me, I was like, I love the idea of just blending both and not having to choose. And I also just like the idea of my music kind of being a movie on itself. So in the sense of, like, you don't, even without the lyrics being on there, it produces a sort of feeling. And so I like it that it starts off kind of mellow, like you're starting the, you know, the story. And as it picks up and picks up and picks up, as more instruments are coming in, it's like the movie is progressing until it gets its climax of, like, everything being together.
Sure. Yeah, I can picture that. So how do you go about writing something like that then? I mean, because obviously there's lyrics as well and vocals as well. What is the sort of the process for putting that together?
So funny enough, like, I always call it a divine intervention when I'm creating my music. It's mainly because when I start off with my songs, I always start off first with the chorus. And it's the chorus that builds off what the story of the song itself will be.
Okay.
And when I start off with the chorus, then I go on to the pre-chorus. And it's, as I'm building, it's really the instruments that get built in are based off the sounds that I hear in my mind.
Okay.
So as I'm adding an instrument, it's like, okay, I feel like I'm hearing this sort of, like, note chords going in here. So we're going to add this instrument that's going to apply that note. And we're going to add this instrument that applies that note. And I really call it a divine intervention because it's really the moment whether it might be I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, playing around with the keys or something, or might be on splice and I'm just hearing some of the loops.
Yeah.
The moment I feel something within me and I start producing, like, I start creating words. It could even be gibberish, but as soon as I feel something, I'm like, it means there's something there. So let's work on this and see what comes out of it.
Sure.
And so sometimes it tends to be either that the music gets created by, you know, words of experience, or just pure imagination. It was just, you know what, these lyrics seem to fit. This kind of makes sense. We're going to go with it. Why not?
Sure. And it's interesting you said you start with the chorus, because, you know, a couple of minutes ago, you just talked about sort of the building of the almost the cinematic sort of feel. And usually the chorus is sort of the height of the musical movie, I guess, right? That's right. I mean, that's the hook. That's when everything's happening. That's when all the instruments are going kind of full bore. So it almost seems like you're doing it backwards by working out from there and taking the heaviest, loudest, most exciting part and then working backwards.
Mm-hmm. So it's generally, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, it always works out that the chorus ends up being first. Everything else ends up building from there. But then as I start putting all my instruments together, that's when I start adding in more and more. And I'm like, okay, the final chorus needs to be this big. It needs to sound this climactic so that then we feel it. We have all the feels and we know, okay, this is the end of the movie. This is where we're like, we're dead.
Have you, with all of the movie sort of imagery you're talking about, have you considered or have you done any music that has had a visual element as far as actual film or anything like that to accompany it?
Last year I was for a movie. I was actually asked to jump on to just do a little bit of a soundtrack to it. I'm falling off it was a Fringe movie. I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately, because it was through passing and she had even asked me to jump on it and create something. So that was like my first experience. But it is something that I would love to do because I do feel that when you're that obsessed with the idea of making it, your music that way.
It makes sense, right?
That I'd love to tap. Yeah, it totally would tap into for sure. I think, it would make sense. I know a few people had said that to me too, that I should consider that. I think the conflicting emotion in me though is kind of like, do I do it where it's just without, because I know we can do the score with obviously your lyrics in there and such. And I always find that sometimes my music is misleading in the sense that sometimes it'll sound like really happy and jovial. And then if you actually take the time to listen to the lyrics, it's really sad. So it's like, it messes with the whole concept of things. So sometimes I'm really like, I don't know what in particular could work for this.
Right.
If I wanted to do this for a movie versus let's just strip all the lyrics and we'll just do the background music instead.
Well, that's like a specific ability to be able to do that. Because I mean, it's very easy. It's not easy, but it's very straightforward to write a sad song with sad music or to write a happy song with happy music, but to combine the two and sort of do that bait and switch almost. There are definitely a lot of artists who do that very well. And I think it's a fairly unique skill to be able to do that because the other way around just seems so obvious, right? It seems like, okay, well, this is a sad song. The music's going to be sad, but to have that, have both of them happening at once and for it actually to work. I mean, cause you could try it and it might not work, but actually making that successfully. Yeah. Successfully conveying the emotion while having like the opposite sort of sound, I think it's a skill for sure. Nobody finna test my girl. With the way your body curving, just come and close, girl, and bump and grind. My girl with no tempo now. Nobody finna test my girl. With the way your body curving, just come and close, girl, and bump and grind. She tryna hide, but I know she want it. I know she want it. And then a bad bitch, throw it backwards, pump me, pump me. Talk to me, boy, I dreamt of you. Throw it backwards, pan me, yeah. Bad girl with a sexy cuff, break it up and shake it off. Don't stop when my cock it up, so just make it worth when you feel the touch. Anybody do it better than you, so get loose when you see me come true. I'm on track, so I'm gonna run you, yeah. Tonight, 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 we gonna go, we gonna go.
we gonna learn, we gonna learn. My girl, we no tempo now. Your body feel no test my hand. With the way your body covering, just come and close, girl, I want to know. My girl, we no tempo now. Your body feel no test my hand. With the way your body covering, just come and close, girl, I want to know. Touch my hand, but I know she wants it. A little bad bitch, way backwards from me,
Well, what is your musical background? Like, where do you come from as an artist? When did you start sort of working on anything really, but then leading up to this kind of stuff?
So, definitely grew up with like dancing, cultural Congolese music. I definitely grew up as well with like Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson. My brother was actually the dancer in the family. So like the moonwalk, the robot, all that stuff was things that I idolized watching him do. And so, like, I liked singing, but I wasn't feeling as strong and connected to singing as I was with dancing. Just two separate, it was two separate worlds for me where it was like dancing was my thing. It was like I could just be completely in there and not focus on what people were thinking, whereas I wasn't feeling as strong for my vocals. But definitely loved to write. I loved doing poems. I loved just storytelling and things like that. And then I started picking up, you know, doing a bit of vocals when a friend high school, he was in the recording studio, had asked me to participate and kind of, you know, put my vocals in some of his tracks.
Okay.
And that's when a few friends were like, you know, you could do vocal lessons, like you could definitely do this. I hear something there. And so I started taking those classes. But then came the consensus of like, I remember saying this even to my vocal coach, and I was like, I'm not a karaoke singer, though. Like, I couldn't play the instrument. You know, now I'm okay with the piano, but not as proficient as I'd like to be.
Sure.
But it was always like, I love singing, but I don't want to be a karaoke singer. I want to know, like, I don't want to just be a performer. I want to actually be an artist. Like, what do I want to say? What is the music that I actually want to tap into and like write about? And so it was hard because on top of that, when you're trying to figure out your identity as well as a singer, as a vocalist, because I'm a contra alto. So okay. I can go as low as Toni Braxton and then I can do the whistle note like Mariah Carey.
Oh, wow.
But then it'd be like, you're trying to sing and then you're like, okay, but I want to replicate. I don't sound the same as this person, but I want to because it's their song and I want to honor it. So after a while, it was like the imposter syndrome and be like, okay, what's the story that I want to tell? What do I want to do? And so come 2020, when the pandemic hit, I just took that time to really start learning music production and get into that instead. And so that's where I started producing my own music. And I started realizing like the only way that you can really put into fruition the ideas that you have in your head is obviously you, because you know what your vision is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting what you just said too about not wanting to sound too much like the original artist, like the karaoke singer, because I think there are a lot of people who can play vocals, instruments, whatever, they can play something exactly the way it's written, but then they can't, that's the extent of what they can do. They can play it beautifully, it sounds perfect, sounds exactly like the recording, but they can't come up with their own stuff. I know lots of people like that who are incredible at whatever instrument it is, but unless it's a song that they've learned from someone else, I don't want to say they're useless, but they can't improvise, they can't create, they can't write original material. And it seems like a weird thing where some people are so good at music and it just, you want to just like say, no, you can do that, you're great at this. And then there's other people who have no training, have no, you know, no background in it, and they can do amazing things, but then they can't play the song that's written by somebody else. So it's definitely a weird sort of dichotomy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing. It's that imposter syndrome again of like, okay, well, everyone keeps saying that I sound like this artist and that's great. But then sometimes to conveying the emotion, okay, I can convey the emotion that I'm supposed to, that they've created. But again, I feel so like what is my identity? What am I trying to create? What am I trying to say to people?
Yeah. Have you figured that out yet? Or is that still a work in progress?
I think I figured it out now, more so. I think now it's really about, I'm in a place where, because before even it was, do I want to make music that people want to hear? Or do I want to make music that I want to make? that I want to hear. And so now I'm really in that place where it's about making the music that I want to hear, because it's been such a uphill battle to really like chase, even when I started in this music industry and chasing people to even work with me, you know. And when I was young, even, because I had been doing this since I was like 15, 16, the consensus was really like, oh, you're pretty, you know, but like, just sing this part or just do this. And I'm very much one of those people where it's like, if I don't understand, I need to understand for it to process and understand why this works this way. Right. And so when I have questions, it's because I want to learn. So when I'm in an environment where people are really like, oh, you don't need to know, just do it. It kind of just like, I feel like it stunts me.
Sure.
And it also stunts my creativity. So definitely, I think I'm now in a place where it's like, I want to write whatever it is that comes out of me to write. And I just want to write what I want to hear, what I hear in my head. I just want to put it out there. And it's either people will like it or they won't. But at the end of the day, it's what I wanted to hear. And it's what I needed to get out of my head. So I'm not repeating this song over and over in my head continuously.
Is going nowhere fast. It's clear that this is not gonna last. When did we start to go good to bad? I can't seem to remember when last we laughed. You won't see me straight. There's not a thing that you could say to make me stay, to change my ways. No, you can't change my mind, baby.
Is there like a form of catharsis, just getting that stuff out? I mean, it sounds like you sort of live with these songs for a while, and then once you've released it, I mean, does it feel like it's over at that point? Like you've got it out of you, you've got it on IC recorded. I know you're probably going to play it more times in the future, but is there some kind of relief of sort of getting that out and having it exist in the world?
Absolutely. Especially because, I mean, even now I've made at least like, I want to say about 30 songs that I had produced and written for us already. And I haven't released all of them. I mean, my goal for next year is actually, I'm going to try and release one song every 3-4 months.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And the original plan was to work on an EP, you know? And so now it's like, let's just release those songs so it goes toward an actual album instead. And it's working toward a bigger plan. And I feel that, yeah, what happens is like the song will sit in my head. I mean, the song I have called Tonight, I had created that in 2020 and I finally ended up releasing it like 2 years ago or something like that, or 3 years ago. So it's one of those things where it's like, if I don't end up releasing it, not only is it going to stay in my head, but then there's that perfectionism in me that's going to sit there and be like, well, we can change that chorus and we can maybe add more of this and add. And it's like, no, once it's out there, it's done. Just leave it alone. Just walk away, Fadia, walk away or else, you know.
So, otherwise, you could do it forever. Yeah. You could tinker with it forever and never get it the way you want, because by the time you've touched it up too much, then you can never get back to how it was originally.
Exactly it.
Have you figured out sort of where you fit within the local music community? Because I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning, there's so many different artists in Winnipeg and Manitoba that cover such a wide range of genres. And I find that, you know, in 2024, it's much harder than it ever was to even fit yourself into a genre, regardless of what kind of music you play, because there's so many sort of subgenres and subgenres of subgenres. And then, you know, it's hard to pin it down the way it was even 10, 15 years ago. So have you sort of found your niche within the local music community?
I think I'm so out of the box that that's what was the issue as well, in terms of trying to even put myself into showcases, even for Manitoba music and stuff, because I'm not Afrobeat. I'm not Afro pop, but I'm also not pop and I'm not R&B. So sometimes it'd be like, where do we put, and I'm not hip hop. So sometimes it'd be like, where are you going to put me? That's just going to kind of fit. That's just going to work. So sometimes it'd be like, let's do a free for all. Okay, this time we're gonna go with, you know, the indie scene, or this time around they're gonna put me in the hip hop, you know, area, or this time around I might do Afro Fall Fest, which is something that I did this year as well. So it's really just been like, I think I'm now in a place where it's more so like I don't really want to fit in. I just want to go wherever it is I'm wanted, you know. So it's like, oh, if you can vibe with it and you're okay with it, then sure, by all means, like I'll perform, I'll you know, be a part of it. If it's not your thing and you're not too sure, that's okay, you know. I'll find somewhere else instead.
Do you feel that your sound is nebulous enough that you could fit in a bunch of different genres? I mean, like, even if it was something unlike any of the genres you just mentioned, do you think that there's something about what you do that might work with other stuff? I mean, just because there's so many opportunities and festivals and all these things, especially in the summer here, right?
From my understanding, from what I've been told, apparently so. Now I'm starting to see that a little bit more because I'm putting myself out there. Because I think the issue too of why I wasn't putting myself out there was that it was like, I'm so outside of the box that I don't know where I would fit in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, I think, human nature in general. You're like, you're so privy. And I remember that was my goal too, when I was trying to figure out my sound. I was like, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do this and I don't want to be put in a box. And then finally I do this and I have this subgenre that I create and I'm like, okay, but now I can't fit in a box and I don't know where I'm supposed to fit in. So I think, I'm embracing that and I'm loving the opportunities that are there. So I definitely want to try and see what opportunities, what doors it opens up for, like maybe Winnipeg Folk Festival, Jazz Fest. Like, and the thing that I appreciate as well about what it is I do is that there's so many levels that I can do for it. So I can definitely strip it down, make it more jazz and bluesy, or, you know, add in all those percussions, the, you know, bongos and all of that, and make it more Afrocentric and such. So, yeah.
What does this look like live? I mean, because obviously there's multiple ways you could approach it. You could have all those instruments with you on stage, and there's a lot of them, as you mentioned, or you could do a stripped down version. You could play the recordings. There's just so many options, right? Have you sort of figured out what your ideal live show would look like with these songs?
You know, it always depends also on the event itself
of
that I'm being asked to perform for. But in terms of like live, if I were to do a showcase of just like showing my music, it would be nice if I could get the live band and orchestra with me. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that would be amazing. I would love that. At worst, like, it wouldn't be too bad to at least have a live band and then we have, you know, the backing orchestra on track. But ideally for me, the hopes and dream would be that I could just have the on-string ensembles with the band and everything, just like, just seeing it come to life as if I'm actually in the, you know, Winnipeg Orchestra.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just, yeah.
That would be really cool, yeah. How many people would that be? Like, in your sort of dream band, in your imagination, how big is that on stage?
So I'm thinking maybe like 5 for the core band, because I'd want, you know, congas. I would want the guitar. I would want a bass. I would want a drummer and a pianist.
Yeah.
And then after this, we're looking at trumpets. We are looking at flute, violin, clarinets for sure, French horn, saxophone. So you see the list just keeps going bigger and bigger. And so it's like, I'm thinking we're probably going to go at like 20. Because on top of that as well, for like the brass, the brass section, it would be more than one, because they'd be playing like different pitches and octaves and all of that. So it would be pretty big. It's to the point that sometimes my laptop really does not like me because I overdo it and it's like crashing. It's like, girl, we've hit it. Like, we need to stop. You can't add anymore.
Do you think that doing this, I mean, I know you said you started sort of doing this production stuff in earnest during the pandemic. Do you think having that sort of enforced time that everyone had where you couldn't do shows, you couldn't go out, you couldn't see people, did that help you to focus on sort of perfecting what you're doing? I mean, because the reason I ask is because I've had some people on the show who have found that that time was extremely productive for them, and others who just were like, they were frozen. They couldn't write, they couldn't practice, they couldn't do anything. What was it like for you? I mean, it sounds like you used that time productively. as far as, you know, learning to produce your own music?
Yeah, I think it was, for me at least, it was an unfortunate situation, event, but it was also, for me personally, a sort of blessing in disguise, because it really did force me to, like, here, now you've got no excuses. Now you've got to take this time to actually, like, create the stuff that you've always constantly been like, oh, well, I don't have the skills to do it. I don't have the skill set and I don't know how to do it. Well, now is that opportunity to figure it out.
Yeah.
And what I ended up finding as well is, I don't know, in a way, it, for me, it was like, I got to see another side of myself that I didn't see, but people seemed to have seen within me.
Okay.
So the more I started creating, because I knew I liked writing, but, you know, people were like, you know, you're great at it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm okay. I'm all right. And as I would start writing songs, there would be some songs that I would create and it's a really sad song and it might not have anything to do with me, but I'd be like, wow, that was really sad. Like that's rough, you know? And so it really made me value myself a little more as a creative as well. Of course, it's an imposter syndrome game, as any artist will probably say.
Yeah.
But that moment for me was really, it showcased like, I can do this by myself. Like it is possible for me to do it by myself and I don't have to chase other people to do it. Yeah, I still need to hone in my skill for my mixing and mastering, but the core beginning of it all, like I'm capable of doing that. I'm capable of putting what it is I have in my mind into fruition.
That's great. I mean, that's a good skill to have developed. I mean, I know what you mean. It's a terrible time. It's not something that anyone wants to celebrate, but having the time to work on stuff, and it is a blessing in disguise, I think, for sure, for a lot of people. So if someone's hearing about you for the first time on this show and they want to hear more, I mean, the good thing about this being a podcast is they could hear it the day it comes out, which is going to be very soon after this conversation, or they could hear it a year from now. And by then, you know, you could very well have a lot of music out. You could have shows coming up. What's the best way to track you down, find out what you're up to, and then also just hear your music?
Definitely I'm on all streaming platforms, but I'm also on TikTok. I'm on Instagram as Adeel Music. I am on YouTube as well. I have actually will be opening up a blog again called BantuGirls.com.
Okay.
I'm very much into wellness and mental health. So that was definitely a good portion of what helped, I think, also just in all of it help encompass me as an artist as well. It was just the realization that I wanted, my vision was really to not only create this sound, you know, and music that just tapped into self-love, you know, self-development and journey, but also that was emotional and can resonate with people. And
sure.
So it was just about talking about everyday life, but helping other people kind of connect with the music, either whether it be with just the, you know, the instrumentals or with it being the lyrics.
Yeah.
And so that was really my number one like vision, was to just connect with people emotionally on a deeper level with my music in that way. It just so happened that with the self-development of the mental wellness blog, it just pushed a lot more other things as well into that scope of things as well.
Do you think that there's a strong connection between what people are hearing as far as the emotions in the music and the background behind some of these songs and that portion of it, the mental health, the wellness side of things? I mean, is there maybe not an obvious connection, a direct connection, but there's got to be something that kind of passes through both, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think if anything, the two definitely connected and helped shape me more so, because I think the thing too is that as a mental wellness blogger, for me, my question was always like, who am I to talk about these, have these conversations about things that really compelled me to want to talk about, you know, like, who am I? I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know,
it's imposter syndrome
again. Exactly. And as a producer versus a songwriter, I'd be like, you know, I can write about this stuff. I can express myself. But then it'd be like, well, am I good enough, though? Is my music good enough, though, to release for people to hear it? So after a while, I became that, like, learning about vulnerability and just, you know, owning your story and kind of being okay to, like, share it with people, because there's bound to be other people who feel the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Let's be clear. I don't want you back. Even if I'm here as per your demand. Let me be clear. I don't want you back. It's not why I'm here. As a matter, I came to dance, I came to laugh, I came to flirt a bit,
Chance that I feel romance.